We're looking at new rules coming out of the Trump administration and how the Endangered Species Act would be applied. You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. And this week, the administration finalized changes to enforcement. The rules are designed to improve transparency and effectiveness. But some critics say it will drive more animals to extinction. And at least 10 attorneys general have joined with conservation groups to protest an early draft of the changes. So what do you make of these changes to the Endangered Species Act? What questions do you have about the rules? We're at 800-642-1234. Lisa Friedman is a New York Times reporter who covers climate and environmental policy in Washington, and she's been reporting on the Trump administration changes to the Endangered Species Act. Lisa, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
So explain what the Trump administration is proposing here. What would change about this really landmark Endangered Species Act?
Sure. What the Trump administration announced on Monday are really some of the farthest reaching changes to the way the Endangered Species Act is enforced in its history. Some of the major changes are weakening protections for threatened species, which is a classification one step below endangered, making it harder to take climate change into account when thinking about how to protect species. And one of the more significant ones, I mean, they're all significant in a way, we can dig deeper into any one of these, but taking cost into account for the first time when deciding whether a species should be listed as endangered or not.
What do you mean by taking cost into account?
Yeah, so right now, the way the law is interpreted and reads, scientists can only consider one thing when they decide whether or not a species deserves protection from the government. Is it threatened? Just the science. It's a purely scientific decision. And the rule does an interesting thing and tries to thread a needle. It removes the language that insists that prohibits considering economic factors when deciding whether a species should be protected. The Trump administration has said, and Fish and Wildlife Service officials said on Monday, this will still be only a decision based on science, but it is now allowing economic determinations to be done and to be made public. Environmental groups are very concerned. Their argument is, look, if you're going to do the economic assessments, you're going to use them, whether the administration says they will or not. It will become a factor. And their argument is that these studies are important to know down the road. Of course, it's important to know if you create protections around a certain bird and that prevents logging or mining or drilling or development in an area, what is the economic cost, for example, of lost resource development? But their argument is that study has no place in this original determination of, is this species in danger or not?
Well, Lisa, step back for us for a moment. What is the difference between an endangered species and threatened species, and how would the change impact each category?
Sure. So threatened is essentially a species that is likely to become endangered within the foreseeable future. The way the Endangered Species Act had been interpreted was that threatened species received all of the protections, blanket protections, that endangered species received. Under the new policy, the administration would create sort of individual plans for each species on a case-by-case basis. So what would that mean? For example, environmental groups say that there are species that are severely threatened by this. They point to the monarch butterfly, for example, which is struggling but hasn't yet been officially labeled endangered, and they are worried that that bird, that the monarch butterfly will not or might not receive the kinds of protections that it needs to continue to thrive. On the other side of the coin, farmers, ranchers, others who have been very critical of the Endangered Species Act have felt that the rules around threatened species were so stringent that it really made it created a disincentive for landowners, for example, to protect threatened species on their lands and stop them from becoming endangered. And they see this as a big win. They've called it a misguided approach that they believe actually hurts conservation efforts, and they think this will help. So, you know, that's one of the big outstanding debates.
Right. And from an economic assessment, it could be that you would take into account lost revenue from not being able to do logging in a critical habitat area when deciding whether to decide a species warrants protection.
So, right. I mean, on the economic factors, you're exactly right. I mean, I would stress that the administration has maintained that the designation will remain science-based entirely. However, they're also saying we intend to do these studies. We haven't developed a system yet for how we'll do them, but it will be a separate process from the designation process. But we intend to do these studies and let the public know how much money they might be the country or a state might be losing in return for protecting a plant, bird, or mammal species.
Like basically showing that transparency as, here are the trade-offs economically.
That's exactly the way the administration described it, as a transparency measure.
We're talking with Lisa Friedman. She's a New York Times reporter who covers climate and environmental policy, and she's been covering the Trump administration changes to the Endangered Species Act rules coming out this week. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you heard about the new changes to the Endangered Species Act? What questions do you have about the new rules and how they would be applied? What Wisconsin wildlife species are you concerned about? Have you noticed changes in the natural world over the years? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. So how is how are these new rules, this proposal, being considered against the backdrop of climate change and how it relates to endangered species?
Yeah, that's another very controversial change to this regulation. So the rules now give the government a lot of discretion in deciding what is meant by a certain term in the Endangered Species Act. Under the act, the government needs to protect species that are endangered in the face threats in the foreseeable future. Well, what is the foreseeable future? I mean, climate change has some really far-reaching implications when it comes to species habitat. And this rule would really narrow the way that the government is allowed to think about foreseeable future. The Fish and Wildlife Service officials who described the changes to us said that, you know, the agency wants to avoid making what they call speculative decisions. And they kind of described this in terms not of climate change, but of development. Gary Frazier with the Fish and Wildlife Service spoke to reporters and, you know, used the example of of building development. And he said, look, you know, 10, 20, 30 years, we might know zoning laws, we might have building plans, but if you're going to talk about what might be done or might not be done 70 or 80 years from now, that's a lot harder for us to predict. Scientists, however, and environmental groups say, look, it's not that difficult. We don't know the exact contours, but it is known that polar bears and seals are losing sea ice, that beluga whales are going to have to dive deeper and longer to find food, and that the government should start to begin to plan for these changes, and find the fact that they're not and making it harder to do so very concerning.
So how might the changes impact things like mining and drilling and industries like fossil fuels?
You know, the general sense is that it is likely to make it easier. Certainly, you know, these changes were undertaken as part of President Trump's mandate to, you know, to rein in government regulation on corporations. And that includes on the oil and gas industry that want to seek resources on protected lands.
We're looking at rule changes to the Endangered Species Act with New York Times reporter Lisa Friedman as our guide, and she covers climate and environmental policy. You can join in. Are there species you think we've overprotected? How could they be managed differently? Join in at 800-642-1234. What do you make of these rule changes to the Endangered Species Act? Email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back for more discussion in just a moment. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the Endangered Species Act here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Trump administration finalized rules this week that aim to narrow the scope of the law, saying that it burdens landowners, that it hurts industry, and that it hinders economic growth. Critics are saying, on the other hand, it will drive more animals to extinction. So what do you make of the rule changes? What questions do you have about the Endangered Species Act and how it works? Do you support the changes? Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Lisa Friedman reports on climate and environmental policy at the New York Times, and she stays with us. Let's bring in Karen now, joining us from Spooner. Hi, Karen.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I find this conversation disingenuous considering this administration does not believe in scientific facts. How, if we're not going to protect all species from extinction, are we going to protect children from extinction? We're talking about a much wider range of issues here, and this is about big business rolling over the environment, and it's a danger and threat to all of us, not just endangered species, but humans as well.
Karen, thanks for the call. Lisa, a number of Democratic lawmakers around the country have been pretty vocal in their opposition to the rule changes. What do we know about the pressure, the challenges, and the legal challenges in particular?
Sure. So this faces challenges from two ends, the states and from Democrats in Congress. In Congress, you know, the ability to do something about this is limited because of the makeup. Senator Tom Udall of New Mexico, he suggested that lawmakers might use a 1996 law called the I'm blanking from the Congressional Review Act, right? That could hinder the ability of the administration to move forward with this regulation, you know. But Republicans control the Senate, and it's not really clear that this will be able to happen. Though he and other Democrats said that they are looking for this and other legislative measures. the state side,
Do you expect a lot of litigation to come out of this?
Yes, absolutely. So as you mentioned earlier, 10 states led by California, Massachusetts, others, New York have said that they intend to sue Javier Becerra, the Attorney General of California. You know, he described this. He said, you know, this isn't just nibbling around the edges of the Endangered Species Act, as, you know, the administration's contention is that this is merely clarifying and streamlining some laws. But, you know, he argued that this is a wholesale change that will make it harder to protect species. And states are getting ready to file legal challenges, as I'm sure are environmental groups.
We're talking with Lisa Friedman from the New York Times. She covers climate and environmental policy. She's been covering the Trump administration changes to the Endangered Species Act. Lisa, Kayla from Eau Claire called but couldn't stay with us. And Kayla says transparency is important in these decisions. But Kayla says, how can we weigh the advantages of economic development against the price of losing species? How do those things even compare?
I mean, that question really gets right to the heart, I think, of whether or not to introduce cost factors into this process. You know, again, when listing a species as endangered or threatened, there is a lot of things go into that, including, you know, the cost consideration. But at the moment of deciding whether a species is threatened, you know, there's a very strong argument that groups are making that is something that should really purely be a decision of science.
So what power do the congressional leaders who oppose these changes, what power do they have to challenge them?
Well, let's take a step back for a moment, because, you know, Republicans in Congress have sought to narrow the Endangered Species Act for decades. And over the past 2 years, you know, there have been a number of bills. There was a huge legislative push to overhaul this law. And this moved in the House, but it didn't, the Senate never took it up. Well, now with Democrats in control of the House, there's little chance of those measures passing. So that's one dynamic. Then there's the question you posed of what will Democrats do to fight these regulatory changes? You know, and that is, you know, that is really unclear, I think, at this point. You know, there's going to be bills introduced. There's certainly going to be a lot of oversight in the House where Democrats control, or Democrats are in control. But in the Senate, there, you know, Republicans are broadly in favor of this. John Barrasso, the chairman of the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee, applauded these moves. I think it will be, you know, very difficult for a challenge to move forward legislatively.
Well, you take a step back there. Let's go way back to 1973. What was the impetus behind the idea for this Endangered Species Act when it was signed into law?
So as you said, this was signed in 1973 by Richard Nixon, and the government was, you know, Nixon became a really unlikely champion, I think, of endangered species. You know, I read that he was quite not the environmental activist in private, and expressed a lot of concern with environmentalists. But I think he also recognized that this sort of sweeping legislation to protect species was going to be a critical one.
So are there instances where the Endangered Species Act has been overused, too constraining? You know, here in the Midwest, some Midwesterners think it's been in, you know, that is the case in with the gray wolf, for instance.
Absolutely. I mean, I've spoken to farmers and ranchers who, you know, really said, look, this has been used more as a political tool than an environmental tool. And I think, you know, all over the country, you find private property owners, not just, you know, not just drillers and miners and, you know, but people who own land who say that they have been negatively affected by endangered species laws, that they are too stringent. They haven't. And they also argue that the law hasn't worked. I mean, over the course of the life of the Endangered Species Act, only about 3% of the species listed as threatened or endangered have been removed. You know, now environmental groups will argue that this law has protected a tremendous number of species, you know, from the grizzly bear to the American alligator. But it is also true that getting a species off the list has been inordinately difficult.
In the last few seconds, what is the timeline here for these rule changes? What happens next?
So these will go into effect in approximately 30 days. It's tied to when something is officially entered into the Federal Register. And then groups will have about 60 legislative days to file a lawsuit. So over the next couple months, you'll start seeing lawsuits and, you know, it will really, I think, come down to the courts to decide whether these changes will stand up.
Lisa, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Lisa Friedman is a New York Times reporter who covers climate and environmental policy. She's been reporting on the Endangered Species Act changes. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.